Harkin cracked his whip with an urgency wrought of terror. Orin slumped next to him, a spear buried deep in his side.
Come on, run!
Harkin couldn't help but consider the terrible irony of it all. He had been transferred from the front lines of battle in a war that had been raging since he was a young man to the seemingly safe job of driving Prince Yeselnik about the growing lands of Greater Delaval. And now, this, to be caught and killed on the road. Harkin heard Prince Yeselnik's wife Olim scream in fear. When the coach hit one straight, flat stretch of the tree-lined road in the southeastern reaches of Pride Holding, Harkin dared to stand quickly and look back. The coach was dragging a tangle of logs.
Yeah, you cunning beasts.
The bloody-capped Powrys had hit the coach with some sort of grapnel affixed by a rope to the logs.
Come on!
Good fortune got them through the straight section of road without any serious entanglements. He pulled back hard on the reins.
Stay inside, my prince!
Harkin followed the rope to the grapnel and found it secured underneath the carriage. Harkin drew out his short bronze sword and began hacking at the rope with all his might.
You fool! What are you doing?
The prince was leaning out and hanging on the now opened door.
Why have you stopped? I am the nephew of the Laird of Delaval.
We cannot go, my liege.
A spear came arcing in and hit the coach near Harkin.
Get back in! I beg you, my liege!
Harkin scrambled around the coach and back up into his seat. The reins were not there. Harkin's gaze went forward to the nervous team, and there, between them, he saw his doom. For there stood a Powry, a smile on its leathery and wrinkled face.
Yuck! You're looking for these, my lord? Aye, but ain't your horses tired from your stupid run?
The dwarf in front dropped the reins and drew forth a long, curving knife with a wicked, serrated edge.
If you don't fight, it won't hurt as much.
Wait! I've got something for you. Something that'll get you all the blood and money you want.
Poor Harkin heard the coach door open.
No! Please, leave me alone!
Aye, that one. He's noble blood, and his Laird'll pay whatever you want to get him back. Money and people, it won't matter to Laird Delaval as long as he gets the safe return of his precious nephew.
What are you thinking, Turrigal? Ransom? That be our game?
Nah. Lots of work in that. Interrupt to rile the Laird? Nah. Kill him now, I say. Three humans to brighten me cap.
Oh, wrong answer.
Harkin and the dwarves turned, their gazes flying up, to the high boughs of a wide oak tree. And there he sat on a limb. A smallish man dressed head to toe in a black outfit of some exotic fabric. He wore a mask, black as night, that covered more than half his face, with holes cut out for the eyes.
If it was just a business deal, a good one, then perhaps I could have wandered along my way without interfering. But since you insist...
The dwarf swung a large axe, trying to bat the man in black out of the air. But amazingly, the axe whipped below the descending man as if he had somehow slowed his fall. And he didn't crash through the coach roof, as he should have after falling from so high, but rather touched down firmly on it right behind the swinging blade. He fell as he hit, absorbing the impact with a forward roll following the swing of the axe, and he spun with the tangled dwarf. Again, the man landed in perfect and easy balance as the Powry crashed down hard beside him, sprawling on the ground, its axe flying away.
Not a graceful sort, now is he?
The two dwarves charged, and the man sprang into a forward somersault right over them. He touched down, running, turning as he went, and drawing from over his shoulder the most magnificent sword that any of them had ever seen. Its blade gleamed silver, shining in the morning light, and tracings of delicate vines ran the length of it. Most wondrous of all was the hilt, all silver and ivory, the pommel shaped as the head of a hooded serpent. Out from the left now stabbed the silvery sword forward. A quick tap to the side to push the dwarf sword wide, and then ferociously ahead to stab the Powry in the chest. The man had to turn as another dwarf came at him. His hands moved in a side-to-side blur, confusing the Powry attacker. Suddenly, he grabbed the dwarf's wrist and pulled it between them. A sudden, brutal jerk took the strength from the dwarf's fingers, and the man slid his hand down, pulling free the Powry's sword.
You only get one chance.
The Powrys rushed at him from the sides. Somewhere in the side-to-side blur, he thrust out once, and then again, and one of the Powrys staggered back, bright blood erupting from its shoulder and chest. Now the man's sword went into a tight circular motion around the remaining dwarf's sword. He had the dwarf watching the dazzling display. He knew from its spinning eyes a fatal mistake.
Who shall be next?
But none of the remaining dwarves wanted anything to do with him. They were off and running, scattering to every direction. The man looked at the coach, where the Prince of Delaval was peeking out and slowly opening the door, and where the unnerved driver was staring at him from above.
They always run when half are down. If only they would play it out to the end, they might find me growing tired.
Who are you?
My reputation has not preceded me. I'm wounded.
The highwayman.
Thank you for that. I would hate to think that all my hard work these past months has been for naught.
Your reputation does not do you justice, my friend.
Why, thank you.
You will be rewarded.
And pardoned for any crime in which you've been accused. You will live the life of a wealthy and free man from one end of Haunts to the other.
As if that was yours to give. 'Tis a big place.
Then in Delaval Holding, at least. You may walk freely in Delaval.
I have no desire to travel to Delaval.
Well...
But a reward does sound fine, and so I will take it. Now.
100 silver coins, then.
I prefer gold.
Gold, then. 100 pieces.
Surely you have more than that. You did come to collect your uncle's taxes from Pride Holding. You know, we both do, the burden Delaval places on the people of Pride in exchange for keeping them free from the advances of Laird Ethelbert.
Name your price, then.
Why, all of it, of course. You see, I agree with the Powrys. Taking you hostage for ransom would be a terrible choice. All of it. And be glad, stupid prince, that I have no need for human blood. My mask is black, you see.
He walked over past the prince and right up to the woman who was hanging half out of the coach. He tore the bejeweled necklace from her neck.
Surely a beauty as radiant as your own needs no baubles. Such substance.
The highwayman took that hand in his own and kissed it. Then he took the ring on it. Then he stepped behind the coach where he freed two packs bulging with coins. Slinging them over his shoulder as if they were weightless, he seemed to fly away with a great leap that brought him to the top of the coach. He glanced at the driver and his slumping companion, then moved closer to inspect the wounded man. The highwayman closed his eyes and placed a hand on the wound. His focus brought warmth to his hand, and that warmth brought some healing to poor Orin.
You turn and get him to Chapel Pride. The brothers will help him. His wounds are not as grave as they seem.
The highwayman bowed to him, turned and bowed to Prince Yeselnik, then leaped again, even higher, back to the low branches of the tree from which he had come. In a matter of only a few minutes, he had arrived, rescued, robbed, healed, and vanished.